Have you ever wondered how people become entrepreneurs? How they make money without having a 9-to-5? What about the people that have made their money, acquired millions? How do they continue to have their money work for them? Knowledge is power, my people. Unfortunately, most people aren't too fond of sharing such information without a cost. So here it is for free. All I ask in return is that you pay it forward, share this info with others. This is Marlo Nicole, and you're listening to Business Bullish, where we cover business and money matters from start to finish. You can find me on Instagram at Miss Marlo Nicole with an MS, MS Marlo Nicole, or at www.marlonicole.com. Thanks for listening. So, welcome to Business Bullish.
Thank you.
We have the co-founders of Baby Doja, say, nice and luxurious cannabis brand, Krista Joyner and Jennifer Johnson. So welcome to Business Bullish, and now let's get down to business.
Okay.
Tell us about your brand.
You want to start? You want me to start?
Yeah, you can start.
So we decided to make a product for women that was unique in the fact that it's solventless, it's a clean product, good flower, high quality, but still affordable, nothing, too expensive for people. And we wanted it to look good too. We wanted something that, women could feel really good, taking out of their bag. And so we designed it to be, classy and look pretty. And, but you're getting a great smoke experience, clean smoke experience. Our whole branding concept was really based on good products, quality products, clean products, creating things that are just going to, evolve as we go. We're going to launch more products that are going to coincide with what we've already created. And right now we got these baby pre-rolls.
All right. So the baby pre-rolls, what size are those?
0.5s.
They're 0.5s right now. 0.5. So that's 0.5 grams. So that is... from the cannabis world, I like the term dog walkers. So for those people that are like, what is a 0.5? How big is that? It's enough for you to be able to take a nice long walk and relax. So it's the perfect size.
Yeah.
Something that you don't have to worry about, tossing later because it was too much.
No, definitely. And, even for a man, I think a lot of men today, I don't know that people, I know some people still like to roll and do that, but I think out of convenience and time, this is just a much more simplified way to get high.
Oh, definitely. So, funny story, I was watching, Bill Bellamy's podcast with Matt Barnes. Love you, Matt, my buddy. it was so funny. Matt was talking about basically the type of smoke that he does. He's a regular smoker. And so he was referring to these THC percentages and how some people like to basically turn to a zombie. And because he's a, daily smoker morning and, sometimes before he goes to bed, how he just likes something that's nice and quality and simple. And so that's basically what you guys have created for women or men as well that want something that is good. You mentioned it's solventless.
Yes.
Tell them about what solventless is.
So solventless means there's no chemicals. It's really clean. What's happened in cannabis is over the years, there's companies that are manufacturing with ingredients that are, let's say, not good, that you don't necessarily want to be ingesting. So
butane.
vitamin E acetate and a vape pen.
To name a few.
So these ingredients can be really harmful, and I think as cannabis grows, people will realize that you want to be smoking something solventless. You want to be looking at the labels just like you do in Erewhon. We were having that whole discussion, or Whole Foods, where you're looking at what you're buying. This is kind of the same thing where, we've already done that homework for you. It's clean. You don't have to worry. We also, with percentages to that point, some companies aren't completely honest about their percentages. And, with us, when we do our testing, we're 100% honest.
Oh, that's important. So I know you have a background and some experience with some other cannabis brands. We'll talk about that later. Okay. But Jen, what has it been like for you to get into the cannabis industry?
Very informative. I've learned a lot. I kind of jumped in.
Feet first or head first?
Head first. It's been great. I feel like I've learned a lot along the way. Krista was very helpful with learning stuff as we went because she was in the business for many years. Mm-hmm. So it's been good. I think it's, I still have a lot more to learn, but I enjoy the day-to-day of it and like getting to figure out all of the different brands out there that are solventless or not, that are doing well, that we're competing against, or the stores that, you know, I love going into the dispensaries and seeing how well the products are selling. So I think it's overall been a great experience, but I'm just, you know, I'm in there trying to learn more every day.
That's gonna be exciting.
It is. It's been a good year journey. I think we've grown very fast in a year, which has been great.
Yeah.
Starting in, you know, the first month, starting and going into the top 20% stores in LA, and then winning second place in High Times. Mm-hmm. For the best pre-roll. So I think, you know, we've tackled a lot of stuff in the first year, so we're excited to keep going.
And we also, to that point, we made one of the first pre-rolls that's infused in a certain way. I mean, the way we created our pre-roll is very unique too. It's different than what other people had going, so I feel like, you know, that's really special as well. There's infusion inside and outside on our product.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. So, let me see. Stereotypes. What is it like being a woman in the cannabis industry? Do you feel that maybe you're treated or seen differently when you do walk into a dispensary and you see your product on the shelf and you say, that's mine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I mean, it's different. There's two sides to this. There's the one side where it's definitely, I think, easier for us to get maybe into places, you know, being a woman. I think that most men aren't used to seeing females in that capacity coming in, so they're embracing
want to try it, it's being owned.
They like that. And then it can go the other way where I think then, you know, they probably aren't sure, like they're used to that male kind of domination. I would say in this industry where everything has been aggressive with the THC levels, where it's something that'll just knock you on your, you know, butt per se. They're not used to something that is, you know, gonna, you know, smoke well, taste good, quality, you know, that we're pulling other aspects in that are really important. So there's that. But I think it's been, you know, nice. I feel like, you know, people, for the most part, they're embracing the woman-owned. They love it.
Sometimes they're confused. I remember being at a couple of events and men have been behind doing sales or doing something, and they're like, oh, you have a great brand, and they'd be like, actually, she owns it, and they're like, oh, and it's a different conversation. Even with women too, they're kind of like, then they're more intrigued, they're like, wait, what, how did you start this? What made you get into it? So it's a great conversation piece, because they're very, some people are very shocked, and then men, they're like, oh, this is your brand, and you're like, yeah. So they get, you know, they're trying to figure it out. I feel like but it's been fun. I mean, I think we're kind of changing the path for other women.
That's awesome.
Brand,
100%.
So having myself a background in the cannabis industry, but also in the liquor industry and owning bars and restaurants, it's funny when I go into dispensaries to see, you know, different products or to check on different brands that we have. And it never seems to amaze me anymore when you have a large number of what appears to be like female butt tenders, right? Almost like bartenders, right?
Yeah.
A lot of bartenders are women. A lot of butt tenders are women. And these women butt tenders love women-owned brands because there are not very many of them.
So they love to push them.
They
absolutely do.
They want to support, and we want to support them back. I mean, we're really big about female embracement and,
absolutely,
you know, supporting other women. I've never been one of those women that's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to support you for me. It's like, we need to stick together.
That's
how we get along. Because, you know, all my friends, all my friends are that type of woman. They're that type of female, yes, where it's like, you rise with each other. You want to lift each other, help each other, help each other grow, be better, not put each other down. And those kind of females, you know, I hope that they learn from this type of thing that they shouldn't do that, that they should embrace other women. Lift each other, you know, absolutely, support each other, that there needs to be more women in business in general, but especially definitely this particular industry.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of business, what has business been like running a cannabis company? Not the cannabis part of it, but the actual business part of it. Do you think it's different from other companies? Because I know that you guys have different experiences with other industries.
Yeah.
Do you see the cannabis industry as being very different or very similar to any other business or consumer product?
I can definitely answer that. I would say it's actually very much the same. It's very similar. It's a business like any other business. You run it very similar. A lot of the same components apply to whatever other industry you could be in. It's really the same thing. You're just dealing in a different type of product, but all the product and services are ran the same. The company is still ran in the same infrastructure that it would be if you're running cosmetics, which is normally my background. So, you know, in the cosmetic industry, we did everything identically to how this is being done.
There's just more rules and regulations with it. Absolutely. But that's it.
That would be the only
difference. I think, is just that finding those, like learning the different rules and different things of, you know,
compliance.
I love that answer, because there's so many people in the cannabis industry that I believe initially had the mindset of, if you weren't previously in the cannabis industry, the traditional market or the black market, that you're not going to be successful. And it's funny, because a lot of those same people that said that are either struggling or no longer in business, and it's probably because they didn't know how to operate a business. And that, I think, is the most important part, especially when you're talking about retail sales. Because it's a different ballgame. It's not selling, you know, dime bags out of the trunk of your car, or nickel bags, you know, or ounces like, you know, a lot of people used to do. You're literally dealing with, you know, product. You have a wholesale price. You have margins. You have different ingredients that go into something that, where numbers matter.
It's mostly numbers.
It's business.
Yeah, it's business. It's 100%. So if you have a business background, you will probably do well, because you will understand the fundamentals of business. So if you have that key component, that's more or less more helpful than just having a cannabis background. I mean, you can learn any product, but learning how to run a company, that is different, you know?
Yes.
So having been running companies in the past, you know, just taking that experience and applying it is helpful, because it's the same thing.
What do you guys think are some of the misconceptions of being in the cannabis industry?
I mean, that everyone sits around and gets high all day.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, they just think that you just sit around all day and get high, and we're just sitting in an office going, oh, let's just get high today again. It's not like that. I mean, it's literally like running any other company.
It's kind of like if you own an alcohol company. You're not just sitting there taking shots of tequila all day. You're actually running a business. Yeah. But people have this misperception that everyone who owns cannabis just smokes all day. And there are people that smoke all day.
Yes.
But it's not everybody that does it.
Yeah. Don't get high off your own supply.
Yes.
No.
Burn through it. Don't burn through it. Don't burn through it.
I'm sure you're running a company. You have to be like on top of things. So things are coming up day in and day out, essentially. So you can't be high or, you know, non-functioning. But I mean, do some people do that? Of course. I mean, there's some people that work for us that we know are, you know, getting high on our supply.
We call those taste testers.
Yeah.
You gotta have those people that are, you know, it's like quality control, internal, before it gets out into the market.
Yep.
You've gotta have
try
people
it.
To sample it.
It's true, but I mean, I think that that's a misconception a lot of people have. And I also think the other misconception that's really big is that you're gonna get rich the next month. Like, you're gonna start today, and then by next month, you're gonna be completely a billionaire. It doesn't work yes. like that. I know that that's what people think, but, and yes, there's obviously money to be made in cannabis, but unless you've really figured out all the business parts of it, it's not as simple as it looks.
It's like building a business just like any other business.
Any other.
The unfortunate part about that is because it is a cannabis business and people have those misconceptions about the amount of money to be made or that's being made, they mark up everything. Have you guys noticed that in the industry in terms of pricing?
Oh, yeah.
It's the Wild West. There's no... So I can compare it to cosmetics for this purpose. You know, obviously, cosmetics being around forever, being completely regulated, whereas cannabis is not. It's not even federally legal yet. So there's no, like, price control when it comes to flower, when it comes to any other additives, you know, whether it's a pre-roll, you know, paper, you know, a jar. I mean, everything is all over the place, and anyone can charge whatever they want. So there's no way to really control that at the moment. So you're paying astronomical prices because it goes back to what you said. They think, well, you're making so much money. I don't think people realize that most of the money that was being made was, you know, previous to legalization.
Yes.
Legalization happened, everything really switched in the marketplace.
Prime example, this one bag here, this is a pound. This could be, you know, $900 today.
Yeah.
And it could be $3,000 tomorrow.
That's true.
To a different buyer in a different state or even city. It's insane. But anyway, because of that, the fluctuation in prices, you know, occurred the same way in the retail market because, again, how much you buy it versus how much you sell it for. Mm-hmm. And for all of the people that think that making a purchase in a traditional market is going to be less expensive than the legal market, it's not true. Doesn't matter how much they charge you in taxes, all of the prices end up being right around the same, with the exception of you have legal products that are third-party tested. They come with these little labels right here that have batch numbers and they have percentages and they have license numbers so that if there were any defect in the product, you know exactly where to go or who to contact to get any sort of recourse. And if you're buying something out of somebody's book bag, you know, there's been people that have, you know, had terrible experiences with them being laced with other products that should never be put in cannabis. It's unregulated. It's not tested. It can be an overdose. Like, you just don't want to not buy a legitimate product. So that's just my warning for you. But, you know, by all means, be safe.
No, it's true. I mean, even when it comes to smoking, it could definitely be laced with something if it's not, you know, going through the legal process. With edibles, I've actually firsthand seen kitchens that were not clean, and if somebody knew where these edibles actually came from, they wouldn't be wanting to eat them.
Yikes.
So you know, there's those considerations. You know, and you don't know what you're putting in your body, so
I'm very careful with things that I put in my body.
Same. I shop at Erewhon. Jed is a frequent shopper of Erewhon.
It's very bad.
It's an addiction.
Yeah, it's
hilarious. You're hilarious. So what's next for Baby Doja?
Lots of things.
Flower?
Yes.
Star?
Flower. We're launching Flower. We're going to launch more pre-rolls. We've got a category that we're really excited about that we're working on right now. That's a new category in cannabis that people haven't seen quite yet. So that's coming.
I've seen it, and I'm just going to say, be on the lookout.
It's going to be great.
Baby Doja is coming.
Yes. Coming with a vengeance. We're coming.
Definitely.
Good products.
Something else that's kind of been on the horizon, a television show.
Yes. We're excited.
I think that would be a good look. I think people deserve to see the workings of women in cannabis.
I agree. I think that when, you know, other women see it, I think they'll be inspired and they'll know that it's, you know, not necessarily what they're thinking, that, you know, yes. you could, you know, be a woman and be an attractive woman, be a businesswoman, be whatever kind of woman you want to be, and be in cannabis and
yes.
be successful.
I think it'll be inspiring and interesting for anybody, men, women.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's such a unique field, and it has grown so much in the last few years. I don't think I've ever seen any field go from being illegal to universities now having a whole course and degree program based on cannabis and research. And there's doctors now that, you know, are focused on cannabis health and being able to prescribe medicinal cannabis. It's insane. I don't think I've ever seen a product like that.
No,
it
happened
so quickly.
It did not. Yeah. I just saw where they're going to be asking insurance companies to cover medical marijuana.
Nice.
So I think that's huge. Yeah. We're also really interested in that side of the cannabis too, yeah. the medical side, to help with ailments and things. I know that there's a lot of research in that area, and it hasn't really been touched upon yet by anyone.
Right.
So we'd like to be, you know, as women, pioneers of that as well, kind of going into that area as much as we can to make a difference in healthcare.
Definitely. Okay, so everybody needs to follow Baby Doja.
Baby Doja Brands.
Let them know where they can find you on social media.
Okay.
Baby Doja Brands on
Instagram,
Twitter,
LinkedIn,
Facebook,
TikTok.
TikTok.
There
you go.
Let's go, TikTok. Let's rock. So, you know, we're excited. We just want to keep growing, and, you know, we want to inspire other women, and we also want to get other women that are interested in working or that want to learn. They can come, you know, ask us, talk to us about jobs.
Speaking of that, you guys are looking to hire some sales.
We are.
Salespeople.
Yes. We'd love to hire some women.
Yeah.
We're really interested
in females. Women that are interested in being in the cannabis industry.
Yes.
Please try to have a background in sales.
Yes.
And knowing how to move product and approach, you know, managers of retail stores and buyers. If you have a background in sales, especially at a large level,
right.
please contact them
on
any of those Baby Doja platforms,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure that they will respond to you.
We will. Absolutely. We're embracing it. You know, come talk to us.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys for joining Business Bullish today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. Don't forget Baby Doja.
Don't forget us.